I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for murders that defy explanation, mystery seeking exploration, and shocking secrets that will leave you breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Happy Tuesday to you. Great to be here with you this morning on what should be another beautiful day in America's finest city. Wish our baseball team was, a little more consistent, but still a long ways to go. I stay remotely, slightly, positive when it as it pertains to the San Diego Padres. But it's a tough watch. It's a tough watch sometimes. A little frustrating. We'll get into that certainly on this program today. We always do. Introduce the show for you. I'm Woodsy, Stephen Woods. Go by Woodsy. Have for most of my life. Paul Reindl's our executive producer. I've been calling him Paulie since the day I met him. I'm a big Sopranos fan, and so I've just put the E on the end of everything. Good morning to you, Paulie.
Hey, how are you?
Good to see you. And, of course, Benjamin R. Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor and news anchor, joins us as well. Ben has another job. He has two jobs, two full-time jobs. Does the news at night, radio in the morning. He is a multimedia whore, is what you are.
True.
You're a multimedia whore. You should put that as your new...
An indiscriminate.
You should put that as your new Twitter bio.
Media around.
Yeah, media whore,
right,
is what you
local
are.
Local media whore.
Local media slut.
I have all the contractible media diseases. Good morning, Woodsy.
Good morning, buddy.
Woodsy.
How are you?
I don't generally put the E on everybody's name like you do.
Yeah.
I just call you Woods most of the time.
But I think it's a baseball thing, too. Play baseball.
It is a baseball thing.
My whole
thing.
Life. Yep. You know, everybody. Everybody on the, Boggsy and, who else? I can't remember any of our other teammates. Well, Joey. his name's Joseph. We call him Joey. Everybody's an E.
Bruffy.
Yeah, 100%. 100%, man. Good to have you guys in. How was everybody's evening last night? What did you do? I know you watched the game, because I did, too. What did everybody get up to?
I got invited to the, my boss came up to me at work last night and invited me to the UT's Best of Award show later this month.
Is that right?
Yeah. It's on the 24th, so we'll find out, because we are, I believe, nominated for Best of radio categories.
Well, last year we won. Couple.
We won Best Morning Show, Best Drive Time Show last year, and I believe we are nominated in a couple of categories this year, so I will get to go and represent us in case there is, that moment where I get to go on stage and doing an acceptance speech. Is there anything you want me to pass along if I do, if we win and you want to say anything to the collective assemblage of people at the Best of dinner?
Where is it, first of all?
I asked her, let's see if I remember. It's not at the USS Midway. They used to do it on the Midway.
Okay.
I think it's at the, she said the Mission Valley Marriott.
Okay, the Marriott.
The Marriott.
Get a little corporate chicken. The corporate chicken.
Oh, yeah.
Corporate green beans, mashed potatoes. Yeah. Listen, I have nothing to pass along other than, if we win, thank you to the people that voted for
you
us.
You like us. You really, really
yeah.
like us.
Yeah, I always hated Field. That speech. I always thought that was the worst of the worst as far as the acceptance speeches go. Maybe don't, when you go up there, you don't need to make a political statement or anything like that. Just take your award.
Sasheen Little Feather going up and
yes,
accepting my,
exactly.
my trophy.
Just get your, just get the award. You can do the Boogie Nights where you go up and say, we promise to keep rocking and rolling and kicking ass every day and then give them the, the Dirk Diggler kick and punch. That would be badass if you did that. But no, I think...
Now, the voting's been closed. I'm trying to find...
See what we're nominated for?
I couldn't find... I tried to Google it. I could not find the final nominations.
Well, so here's the most embarrassing. What if we don't win? What if we don't win? And
then
you're
chance.
Sitting there.
Because I don't think Odyssey bought the table. So I don't
know. Well, no. Odyssey didn't buy the table.
I'm 90... I'm 100% sure, actually. That they did not.
Hannah says in the chat, didn't they tell you with a wink that you should go last year and then you didn't win? It was a couple of years ago. And I got an email from a girl that used to work here. And she goes, hey, listen.
We had won previously. And then it was like the next year.
The next year. And we were nominated for like six things. It was crazy. Yeah. I go, oh my God, look at all these nominations. And she's like, you guys should come to the dinner. And I go, okay, well, how does that work? And she sent me like the prices to get a table. And I go, no. I go, what day is it on? It's like on a Wednesday? Forget it. Like, no chance. They're not going to pay. I'm not that much of an egomaniac to fork out my own money to go to have corporate chicken at a Marriott. And I said,
$1,500.
Yeah, $1,500 or something. I was like, for this little plaque, like this? Now, Sydney Sweeney's there and she's handing them out, maybe, but like, there's no chance. So I said, oh, okay, I'm not going to do that. And then I like wrote her back a couple weeks later. I was like, hey, did we win anything? She's like, no. I go, if I had bought the table, would we have won? That's what I always wondered. Like, had I bought the table, would we won? So maybe the fact that you're in the house helps. But I know that over across the street, they're big on it. They will stroke that check to get those plaques. They really, and I'm not saying that there's any correlation. I'm just saying that's something that they allocate money to.
The majority of the winners usually have tables there.
That's right. What I'm trying to
draw
say
your own
here.
Conclusion.
You
now,
make
they,
your own conclusion.
They also probably
that's your jump to conclusions.
They take
Matt.
It more seriously, so they do a better job of
marketing
their own to their own audience. Hey, make sure you get out the vote. We don't sit here every morning and tell you, hey, make sure you vote for us every day.
I'm pretty sure I don't think we mentioned it once.
I think we mentioned it once when maybe it came once. Out, yeah. And that was it. But well, listen. So you're going to go to that?
I am going to go later this month. So we'll find out if it helps being actually in attendance to win one of these things.
Okay. Well, listen. I hope that we do win, and that'd be cool.
I saw Hannah in the chat,
yep.
As you mentioned. I was glad that someone, at least partially related to the show, got to be inside of Petco Park yeah. last night for Manny's big moment, his 2000th career hit. You never knew when it was going to happen. Happened last night, first two at-bats, just two singles to left field, and there he was, sitting on first base, tipping his cap to the crowd, 2,000 hits, what an unbelievable milestone, and she got to be there to see it. Now, you were not.
I was not there. Right. I mean, it's my favorite player, and I was at home watching with the children, and she was there with her girlfriends. Now, she loves Manny, too. Our whole house, we are Manny fans. We have a cat named Manny Meowchado. He does not have 2,000 hits. He's not even close to 2,000 hits, but he is maybe the most elite cat. I walked in from work yesterday. He's just sitting luxuriously on the counter with his tuxedo. He wears a tuxedo. And I just walked up, and I said, you are the best cat on the planet. Like, and I just gave him a little pet. So Hannah did get to go to the game and see it. And I text her. I go, I'm so jealous. I'm so jealous. I would have loved to be there for that moment. Obviously, would love to see the moment and have them win the game. I hated that. You know, I hated that we lost that game. But it was cool. And I was excited for her. But so she went with some girlfriends, which means that it was boys' night. In the old Woods house, and it's never a dull moment. I took the kids to the dentist. Both of my kids are elite dentist goers, and that is, I'm surprised, because they will piss and moan about everything on the planet.
I was also usually the person tasked with taking my boys to the dentist, because I was off in the middle of the day,
yep.
So I would take them, and it was torture every time.
Did they not like it?
No.
They jumped right up. They sat down.
It was difficult every time.
So brave, both of them.
That's wild.
It was wild. Probably so wild because I get such anxiety when I go to the dentist.
I have
man.
Dental anxiety as well.
It's the worst. It's just the worst. And they laid down. They got their scene done. It was great. We went to the outdoor cage and we hit some baseballs after, which was really fun. And then we're driving home. And I asked the dreaded question that every parent listening knows exactly what I'm going to ask. So, it's about 5:45, right? So, what do you guys want for dinner? Taylor in the back goes, I want chicken and rice, and I like the one from Fishtrict, he calls it. It's Fish District, but he calls it Fishtrict.
Fishtrict.
Because why wouldn't he? So I go, ooh, okay, yeah, I can get a piece of fish and some asparagus. It's healthy on a Monday night, you know? Bo goes, I don't want that. Mm. I go, shocker. Shocked that you don't want it. Okay, what do you want? He goes, I don't know. I go, it's just chicken and rice, dude. You eat it all the time. Like, you know what to expect. It's chicken and rice. He goes, I don't want it. I go, all right, what do you want then? He goes, I don't know. I go, okay, well, it's 5:45. We're going to get home. We got to hit the showers. We got to get ready for bed. I want to get this dinner ordered. I'm certainly not making dinner. And I said, what do you want? I don't know. Finally, he goes, let's get Benihana. I go, Benihana? It's Monday night. Benihana is a treat. Benihana's like $300 if you do it by DoorDash. Trust me. I know. And I said, we're not getting Benihana. Do you think you're Jay-Z's kids? Like, we're not getting Benihana on a Monday night. Taylor goes, let's just go to Benihana. I was like, who are you? Who are you guys? Like, what is happening? So we get home and I go, all right, dude, like, I got to get dinner ordered. So I'm just going to get the chicken and rice. And Bo goes, I don't want anything. I go, okay, fine. So I go, I'm going to give you one more chance, dude. What do you want for dinner? He goes, I just said nothing. I go, so you're going to not eat? He goes, yes. I go, who are you punishing? Why? Like, it's my job as your father to make sure you eat something. I go, I'm not making you anything else. And listen, I know I probably romanticized my youth. In my mind, in my youth, it was, there's your dinner, boy. Eat it. Yes, right? This is for dinner. Eat it. But in my mind, because I don't remember my grandmother, my grandfather, my mom ever going, okay, sweetheart, what do you want for dinner? It was, here's meatloaf, here's salmon patties, here's fried fish, let's do this.
I remember certainly asking, what are we having for dinner tonight?
Sure.
But the decision was already made.
100%. You just want to mentally prepare yourself for meatloaf.
Pork chop,
yes.
It's beef stroganoff. It's one of my mom's classic dinner items.
Now I know why. It's all you think about. What is it, Paulie?
Stroganoff.
Yeah, it's the only thing that's on his mind. So maybe I'm wrong. Maybe when I was seven, I was also like, ugh, I don't want this. But I don't think I was. My parents have never said anything other than, yeah, like when there weren't options. You just ate what you got, or you didn't eat.
Maybe when I was older.
When you
were
16.
Of a point where, like, I could just drive and go get us something if we weren't feeling it.
Correct.
Or whatever. Like,
your mom would say, should I order a pizza?
There would be some options. But as a kid, it was, yeah, here's your mac and cheese. Like,
here's your
chicken.
What's your stew?
Yeah, whatever we're having. Like,
I ate so much stew as a kid.
Love stew.
I love stew, too, but I didn't when I was eight.
A nice stew.
But
there was never options. There was never a menu.
Never. We've given our children too many options in life. There are too many options for them. We don't want to be mean, or we don't want to be too tough on them. And you know, there are options. I have options. I can eat whatever I want. You know, but I told this kid, I said, I'm going to order dinner, buddy. This is your shot. I'm not going to go in there and cook you anything special. So do you want dinner? No. Now, I'm not an idiot. I ordered extra because I knew when we sat down and started eating our chicken and rice and our fish and rice,
he was
leaning over the counter. I go, looks pretty good, doesn't he? He goes, yeah. I go, do you want some? He goes, yes. And he ate it. I go, next time, bro, just do it. Just do it. Just order it. Keep everybody. I go, you're making life a little bit tougher than it has to be right now. And so, listen, man, I'm trying to figure this thing out. I know a lot of parents can relate out there, certainly. But yeah, dude, I'm also a big fan of live with the consequences. Like, these are the lessons that you have to teach them of, like, buddy, I gave you a chance. You said no. I'm not going to make my kids starve, obviously. I'm not a monster. But when we're digging into our meal and you're looking wistfully at it,
yeah,
remember that you had the choice to make that pick.
So Alex in the chat says, you asked them what they wanted. Your first of many mistakes.
Damn it.
But hang on.
He just called me an idiot, too. He really
hang
doesn't
on,
like
though.
Me. Because Alex, do you want to have sex with me? Because no one has ever talks about me more.
I don't.
It's weird.
I don't necessarily agree 100%. Sometimes there's just an easy solution. Like, both kids want the same thing.
Yes.
And it's easy. And you know it's going to make them happy. And you're like, this is going to make me happy, too. And you're hoping for that perfect moment where they both say, oh, yeah, that sounds really good. And you're like, oh, yeah, that works for me, too. I'm glad someone thought of it. And you just made everybody's life happy and easy. And you're always reaching for that moment. But so many times, of course, you end up with what you got last night. Disagreement between the two kids.
Cole says, my dad legit would let me not eat. Yeah, I mean, look, I'm kind of wired that way to be like, hey, bro, just... Now, see, I don't do what Chris does. I used to. Chris says... I couldn't leave the table till my plate was clean. Slept at the table a few times. I've learned that bit. Hey man, I'm going to give you this meal. Eat what you can, and we'll just move from there.
I think that does more harm than good.
I do too. So I think, but maybe Alex is right.
It's hard to know what's the difference between being overly picky and just not being that hungry. It's okay to not be hungry sometimes and eat less. In fact, we all probably should. Learn to eat a little bit less from time to time and back away from the plate and not just eat it because it's sitting in front of us.
So did I screw up then driving home and turning around in the back seat and saying, hey, what do you guys want for dinner? I should have just ordered the chicken and rice. And then when they got home said, hey, we're jumping the shower. Dinner's on the way. What'd you get? I got chicken and rice. That's what I'm going to do.
Because as you found out, once they smell it, changes everything.
It really does.
Don't even tell them until they smell it. And then they'll already be kind of prime for what you're having because it kind of, that smells kind of good. And they're ready to go.
You see these grays right here? Right here on the side of my head?
Yeah.
They got Beau Woods. They got Beau Woods all over them, dude. I'm going to have silver wings on the side of my head. All right. So should have given them two options at most. Do you guys want chicken and rice or do you want fish? Right, and let them pick. Ooh, give them a bad option that I know they hate chicken and rice. Then sounds
steer
amazing.
Steer
them in the right direction. I'm really tough, dude. It's really hard. I'm having the hardest time. I really am. Like, I think part of it too is summer. You know, there's a lot of time together. And I just, you know, I feel like I'm laying in bed last night. I go, I love you both. I'm going to watch the game in here. You guys go play. I was like, I need 20 minutes to shut the mother down and get back to neutral.
There is certainly a reality that the effort to be a good parent sometimes makes you a bad parent. Like trying too hard 100%. To be a good parent is where so many of us go wrong.
The teach says it gets crazier as they get older. People say that. And I'm like, okay, but they're more fully developed. They know my cues more, you know, they know, oh, dad is, you know, dad maybe not in the best mood. Let's just eat the chicken and rice and zip our lips. I don't know. And she's probably right. But I'm telling you, man, it is like, it's every night is a constant struggle.
I like this from Danielle. She says, my parents never gave us options. I ate whatever my mom cooked. However, if my mom wasn't home, she would tell my dad and I what to make, and then we'd just go to McDonald's.
That's elite. I love moments like that. But yeah, so, you know, we ate the chicken and rice, and I had the fish, and it was lovely. It was delicious. Now, my parents get to town today. My parents are coming in, mom and dad, flying in from Texas. And they want to do camp for the kids, basically. And I just told them, I said, they're all yours. They are yours. So they're going to come today. We're going to have dinner tonight. And then, all right, we'll see you guys Friday when you drop them off if you want. So now it'll just be my wife and I arguing about what to have for dinner for the next few nights. But no, excited to see my folks, man. Mom's feeling great. Dad's got some pretty big surgery coming up when he gets back from this trip. So it'll be great to see them. And my kids are elated to see their Gabby and their pops today. So very, very cool.
All right, you ready to get going here?
Yeah, let's
start
get into
talking
it.
About last night's game, Manny's milestone, and more. We will set the menu. I'll give you a look ahead at what's coming up in the next 4 hours. We'll do that right after Kelly's first check of traffic this morning here on 97.3 The Fan. Got an especially busy first half of our Tuesday program today. I'll tell you why. Obviously, we'll get to our Padres crap up. Unfortunately, baseball is not a movie. Sometimes it feels like a movie script when your favorite player hits the walk-off home run on a perfect night. The Padres have had a few of those scripted nights where it just went perfectly. Last night, of course, when Manny gets his 2,000th hit, it's supposed to come in a great win. Everyone's feeling good about it. Didn't work out that way. Padres couldn't get a big clutch hit when they needed it and ended up losing to the Arizona Diamondbacks. So we'll go through the game that left us feeling fairly disappointed at the end of the evening. And we'll talk about Manny's legacy and where he's headed, likely to Cooperstown at some point, but where he stands now at age 33 after celebrating his birthday a couple days ago and a big milestone last night. So lots of Manny talk here in the first half of the program. But as we promised, we're also going to give away some more tickets to tomorrow's Padres Diamondbacks game. It is the giveaway night. They've got the it's the what is the hat? The Padres City Connect straw hat.
The straw hat
that Don Orsillo has been showing you on his mini yacht out on San Diego Bay. Everyone's going to be wearing this all summer long. You need to get yours though. Be one of the first 40,000 fans at Petco Park tomorrow for Padres D-backs. But you can win them by listening to Ben and Woods here, and we'll do that in the first half of the program. And normally on a Tuesday we have Jesse Ackler, the Incorporator, at 8:35. But Jesse requested a little bit of an earlier time slot this morning. So he's going to join us at 7:35, and we'll talk to Jesse and do the Incorporator. So that's a lot to get to.
Jesse can do literally whatever
he wants.
Yes, he can. Whatever he wants.
Yes, he can.
He texted me yesterday. He's like, hey, I'm really sorry. Thanks for being flexible. I'm like, don't you ever.
Never apologize.
Ever apologize to us.
Guy's been coming on this show forever.
Every week
during
the season.
Sick.
Since we got here.
Sad, mad, happy, whatever.
On the road.
On the road.
At home.
At the Pfister. He calls from the Pfister all the time.
He's not contractually obligated.
He's not.
Pfister?
Yeah, absolutely.
You may think,
they have to do
his contract or with the contract at the radio station that he has to do some sort of weekly appearance. He does not. He simply does it because he is a nice guy. He is nice to us, and he likes our tier ones, so he comes on every week. So if you see him, tell him that you appreciate him greatly.
Please, man.
For all of the time that he has spent with us over the last few years on Tuesdays, especially. So we'll have Jesse, and then the second half we can kind of regroup. We'll play Take on Woods, and we'll talk about what's going on the rest of Major League Baseball and more. But the first half definitely jam-packed this morning, so let's get right to it. Padres crap up, Manny's milestone, all coming up next with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. GEG-000466. For a full list of games and rules, play to 7 Mile Casino, visit 7milecasino.com.
First up, though, if you ever can't decide what to eat, 7 Mile Casino is actually kind of a tough decision, because do you order off of the Sammy's regular menu, which is the pizzas, the pastas, the salads, those are fantastic, or do you go off the 24/7 players menu, which is the Kung Pao chicken, the Asian pork chop, the beef and broccoli?
I know what I'm getting.
It's all really, really good, though.
That's, I know exactly. That's tough. I know exactly what I'm getting. I believe you can order out from there as well. You can. I think Rod in our chat does it all the time. He gets it to go from 7 Mile Casino. That's how good the Kung Pao chicken is. It's phenomenal. But if you just want to go have lunch, play some cards, have a beer, whatever, great place to go. Right there off the 5, Chula Vista, just 7 minutes from downtown. It's our place. Been a longtime supporter of Ben and Woods. We really appreciate them. Do us a favor. And if next time you're in the area or, you know, downtown, you're 7 minutes away.
Yeah, beautiful patio. It's a great place to hang out with friends, and you don't have to make that giant drive to one of the casinos that are deep into the East County with the parking and the heat now in the summer. You got the bay breezes, and then you've got the cards, high limit action as well. It's all at 7 Mile Casino, just 7 minutes from downtown.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Kind of the same story for your San Diego Padres when they lose. Don't get any hits and runners in scoring position. Leave too many guys on base. 0 for 6 last night. 9 left on and a couple of critical times. Bases loaded where they did not, you know, get the big hit that would have probably made the difference in the game. In particular late with Jose Iglesias coming up late in the game with the bases loaded, pops out.
That 99 on the hands will get you every time.
After, you know, the relief pitcher for the Diamondbacks just was not able to find the strike zone. And then, of course, Elias Diaz strikes out on a ball outside the zone after, you know, letting the one right down the middle on 3-1 go.
3-1 cookie.
I can certainly see being careful, not wanting to chase on 3-1. But, you know, Elias Diaz has some power. And you have to be looking for that pitch to try to win the game with a grand slam there. That's... He has that ability. You don't see it often, but he certainly has that ability. Swung at the wrong pitch again.
Honestly, you don't need a grand slam. there. You know, you don't. You need a good productive at bat. You need to hit that ball in the gap, score two runs,
well,
and turn
I,
it
I
over.
Agree you
know what
with
I mean?
You,
like
but
move,
when you're ahead
in
the count, 3-1.
Yeah, that's a pitch to hammer.
And the reliever that you're facing has shown very little command. You should be looking for a middle fastball that you
hammer.
Can drive hard.
Yep.
If it goes out of the park, great.
Yeah.
But he was looking to walk there because he has been struggling so badly. And then he got to 3-2, and he goes, I better protect now, and swung at one that was close.
100 miles an hour
was,
outside.
Know, just a little bit outside. But, you know, it's understandable, but that's the way, in losses, things have been going for the Padres as of late.
Yeah, you watch Zach Gallen come out and struggle. You know, struggle with command. You watch Zach Gallen, you go, oh, okay, like we can absolutely get this, especially you, Darvish, coming out and, you know, getting him 1-2-3, 10-pitch first inning was so beautiful to see you back on the mound. And you looked at it and you go, all right, man, they're going to ride this. And we got runners on in the first inning and then nothing, you know. And I don't know what it is, man, other than, you know, there's some guys at the top that got to get going. I'm seeing a lot of people already in the chat talking about moving Jackson down. Here's the problem. Where? To where? And who hits there then? I legitimately feel bad for Mike Schilt. I do. I don't know the right way to construct this lineup for maximum hotness of player. I really don't, because, you know, he tried to move Toddy out, got him going a little bit. Toddy's been going a little bit better. Jackson has fallen off the cliff right now. Luis Arraez in the cleanup spot is damn near a miracle. I mean, he continues to get knocks and drive in runs. He's your RBI machine right now. Gavin Sheets had a bit of a rough night last night. That's going to happen from time to time. He's been pretty good this year. Where do you hit Jackson? Would you hit him 5-6? And then who goes into the two? You go back to Luis Arraez, but why? He's driving in runs. I think Manny 3 is pretty steady. I just don't know what you do. I have no idea.
Edgar in the chat says, bench these superstars.
You can't, man.
Now, I do think Jackson Merrill would benefit from a day off or two.
Now,
The problem is you don't. You have such a thin bench.
Tyler Wade plays center field fine.
You don't have anybody that's going to produce in their stead. You don't have what you had last season. And that was a David Peralta, a Donovan Solano,
correct,
who could come in and spell guys for a day or two, and you didn't give up that much production. In fact, some days you got more production out of those guys because they were used in, you know, properly and effectively by Mike Schilt. He does not have those cards to play this year. And that's not really on Mike Schilt. That's on A.J. Preller and not nailing enough of those back-end roster guys this year.
I know nobody wants to hear it. Look, Jackson Merrill has struggled this year offensively. And nobody wants to hear it, but I really feel like there's a little bit of bad luck involved, where it feels like once a game, at least, he is smoking a ball.
He hits one seed a game,
and it's right at somebody.
Like, or an incredible catch from Alex
Thomas. If some
of
those fall, like, it could change everything, and they're just not falling right now.
You know, Edgar, there are some decent points in here, man. Honestly, Edgar says, look, bring up somebody from the minors and they're hungry and broke. Okay. Like, they've done that.
Jackson's so hungry for a hit.
He really
is. So, it's not a
hungry. You see,
it's
every time he gets out, he's screaming. It's not as a hungry.
It's not a want to thing. It is I'm absolutely lost up here, and I'm swinging out of my shoes at pitches I shouldn't. And then I decide to be patient and take. And what do I take? I take 94 down the middle, and you can see it, man. He's frustrated. Now, I did see the point made on Twitter last night. We might have talked about it. You know, he was concussed. He was concussed and came off the concussion list a week ago.
He was injured.
Injured.
Then came
concussed.
Back, then concussed.
So I think, you know, that may have something to do with it.
If the Padres weren't so desperately in need of having these guys playing every day, and, you know, honestly,
if we're the Dodgers, you can sit them for a day.
Not just sit them for a day. I know that they signed him to a major contract. You could send him down to AAA for a week or two.
Oh, God, you're crazy.
No, I don't think it's the craziest. It is right now.
Right now,
you have no one to replace him.
Yeah.
If you had guys, if you had a David Peralta, you had guys that were producing, and Jackson, you could afford, if you had a 7-game lead in the wild card race and you could afford to do it, getting him some pitching that's not quite as nasty, getting some confidence back, knowing, hey, just go down, take some swings. You'll be right back up. You're still, you know, obviously a major part of our plans for the future. He needs something good to happen, and nothing as good is happening right now for Jackson Merrill. They can't do that. They don't even have the remote possibility of doing that with Jackson Merrill right now, so it's not going to happen. But if circumstances were different, I don't think it would be the worst thing right now for Jackson Merrill.
But the other thing that you're not factoring in is that, you know, what he brings defensively is fantastic. So he's still contributing on that side of the ball, just like Toddy was when he was struggling with the bat. You know, it's still bringing it defensively. You want him out there. You feel like, I'm not worried about him. I'm sad for him. That's how I feel. Like, I'm sad for him. I know he's better than this. I know he wants it.
It's not being mad at him.
No.
There's frustration in that this team isn't winning S without Jackson Merrill figuring it out.
Just adjust so
elitely. And that's a lot of pressure to put on a 21-year-old
sophomore. And we got caught up in the thought that Jackson Merrill is immune
to a slump.
To a slump and a sophomore slump. Yeah. It's a cliche, but it's a cliche for a reason. Look at the other dugout. Corbin Carroll, pretty big sophomore slump last year.
Massive.
Absolutely fine. He's still a great player. I think they're a pretty good comp between the two, actually. Yeah. And I have no doubt that Jackson Merrill is going to emerge on the other side as one of the top players in baseball and a perennial all-star for the Padres. But baseball will get you, you know, at times. You just have to go through that learning curve. Mike Schilt talked about it after the game. No one, Manny Machado, Fernando Tatis Jr., Xander Bogaerts earlier in their career, none of them are immune from the learning curve that you have to go through.
Yeah.
And he is going through it right now. Hopefully, you know, you can get through it as fast as possible, maybe even before the end of this season. He can be on the other side of the sophomore slump, but he's going through it right now.
It's not an uncommon tale in baseball where a guy comes onto the scene and tears it up and catches everybody by storm, and then the pitchers catch up. Whether that's year one or year two, the pitching in Major League Baseball will catch up to you. Then it's how do you adjust? Do they just own you from then on, or hitter and then get back to figuring it out? I have all the confidence in the world that Merrill will.
I do too.
It's tough right now.
It's just tough to watch, and to watch him go over, you know, the first three ABs, swinging out of his shoes, it pitches out of the zone the first two, and then staring at that one down the middle, just going, oh my God.
He needs a moment.
He's in his dome, dude.
He needs a moment, and he's like desperately searching for it.
Trying too hard, man. Just trying too hard, pressing too much. Lost a little bit of the joy. You know, and it's not fun when you're scuffling and you want so badly to win for the city and for yourself and for your teammates. You know, that's the one thing. Somebody in the chat said, too, these guys don't look like they're having a lot of fun this year. And, you know, I think winning breeds fun. I think offensive outbursts breed fun. And they haven't had an offensive outburst
in a while.
They looked
like they were having fun in the first half of last year when they were scuffling
around 500.
They looked like they were having fun in the second half of last year 100%. When they won, like, three out of every four games, of course. If they get on a run, they will look like they're having fun again.
Just thinking about it off the top of my head this year, I would say that when they have the good moments worth having fun for, I feel like I've seen them jumping out of the dugout, goofing around, having fun. They just haven't had a lot of those moments.
It's just a
grind.
Even
the wins.
The grind.
Even if
they
win 5 out of 6, they're winning them 2-1, 3-2. Like, those are tough games to get all loose and excited and fun about. Like,
yeah, you're gritting your
you're
teeth.
Like this, man. Yeah. It's tough.
Tight b-hole, as they say.
Oh, yeah.
These are definitely topics that we can address this Friday on our Manager's Report with Mike Schilt. It's at 9 a.m. here on Ben and Woods. The Manager's Report is refreshed by EcoWater SoCal. Try alkaline water for just $9.95 a month. EcoWater SoCal, keeping it soft since 1925. There were some positives last night. We can go through them during our Padres highlights here with Jesse and Tony, Yu Darvish, Manny Machado. It's all coming up. Don't go away. Ben and Woods here on 97.3 The Fan.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.
It's a shame if they lose.
You got a problem.
Oh.
shame indeed.
I couldn't agree more.
Here are the lowlights from yesterday's game.
What the heck happened?
Are you kidding me?
Can't even believe it.
It's the Padres
crap up.
Presented by Hamul Casino. Things are about to get real with the all-new Hamul Casino Resort. With gorgeous rooms and exciting new eats and drinks. It gets real this summer at Hamul Casino Resort, the player's place.
We'll give it 16 minutes of salt and then we'll, you know, get back on the bump and figure it out.
1-2, check swing on a pitch right at the knees. They appeal, he went. And a 1-2-3, top of the first inning with a couple of K's. Welcome back, Yu Darvish. 3-2, they do not go. And Arise hits it on the ground right to Naylor. He goes down to second. That's one. Perdomo's turn with Gallen covering. Bounces off Arise, trickles into right field. Tatis will come in to score. And Luis appears to be injured. Padres take a 1-0 lead. Darvish set and ready on 0-2. Naylor takes off. Darvish had him picked, came home, and a ground ball fair up the third baseline. That'll roll all the way to the corner. Naylor hits third base. He will be waved there, and he'll come in to score as Sheets' throw goes into Machado. RBI double, Eugenio Suarez, and the Diamondbacks have tied it 1-1 here in the second. Darvish delivers, and a sharp grounder through the left side, base hit. Carroll will come in and score. And an RBI knock for Lourdes Gurriel Jr. And Arizona ahead for the first time tonight. It's 2-1. Machado on the verge of history. The 0-1. Hard hit grounder left side off the glove of the diving Perdomo into left. And number 2,000 for Manny Machado in his major league career. Here's the 0-2 in the air to deep right center field. There a long run into the gap. And this one gonna go. Josh Naylor over that Adam Jones wall in right center field. A long two-run homer. 4-1 Diamondbacks here in the top of the fifth inning. And a big night already for Josh Naylor, the former Padre. Squares to bunt, and on 0-2 he gets it down. Up the third baseline. McCann picks it up. Catcher throws to first in time. And a successful sacrifice for Maldonado with two strikes. It goes 2-4. Runner on second, two outs. Peralta trying to keep this game 4-2. Pitch to Carroll, ripped on a line into right center field. That's in the gap. Going to bounce and roll all the way to the wall. McCann has scored. Carroll's trying for three. Cronenworth has the relay slip out of his hand. And an RBI triple for Corbin Carroll. His 10th triple of the season. And the Diamondback lead is back to three. It's 5-2. And 2-for-3. Collected his 2,000th hit back in the fourth inning, and now he launches one to deep left field. Grinchik is back at the wall. It's going to go. What a night for Manny Machado. Collected his 2,000th career hit in the fourth, and now his 15th home run of the season, leading off in the bottom of the eighth. Padres need some base runners here in the ninth inning. 2-1 pitch, chopped to third base, charged by Suarez. He's got it, goes to second in time. Throw to first is in time. And an around-the-horn double play to end the game. Bang, bang at second with Fernando going in feet first. But apparently they got him. Mike Schilt does not appear as if he will challenge. And with that, this game comes to a close. Not exactly one for the Art Museum here tonight. But the Diamondbacks take game one by a final of 6-3.
Yeah, definitely, you know, special and you know, honored to be a part of that list and you know, accomplish something pretty special. So yeah, definitely would have wanted the victory, but you know, stepping away from that, it's kind of pretty cool,
pretty meaningful what you're able to do for all the San Diego fans here.
For sure, it's awesome. You know, doing it in front of the home crowd is definitely a lot better, and you know, hopefully there's more.
Yeah, I was bummed for yeah, obviously happy for Manny, but bummed they couldn't get a win last night, man.
Yeah, he had a great night. Yep. Obviously, you know, double play to end the game, notwithstanding three hits, home run, and just scorched the ball three times off the bat. Really looked good at the plate, yeah, last night for Manny, so he can feel good about his 2,000th hit performance. That he did what he could do.
It's so insane, too, because, you know, Manny got off to such a slow start power-wise, right? But, like, he's been hitting all year. He really has, and he's had a lot of clutch knocks power-wise. You're like, man, I don't think he's going to get to his number. What's he at right now? He's at 15. We're not at the break. What's his number? It's 30. It's always 30. What did he get last year, 29? Like, it's the craziest thing when he's when his career is over and you go back and you look and you go 30-100, 30-100, 30-100, 30-100. It's bananas how consistent he is at the plate.
When he was sitting on three home runs like in mid-May.
Yes. You're like, oh, boy.
And we were telling you. He's going to be okay.
He'll get there.
Even I would have lost. Even I would have lost a lot of money on who's going to lead the Padres in home runs at the All-Star break because he's now tied for the team lead in home runs. No, there's no. I mean, yeah, he'll be okay, but he's not going to catch Tatis or Sheets
right
here in the first half of the season. It required both Tatis and Sheets not adding on to their totals and Manny going on an absolute tear. But here we are. You know, start of July, and Manny Machado is now the team co-leader in home runs.
So this is pretty insane, man. After that single off of Arizona Diamondbacks starter Zach Gallen for his 2,000th hit, he is the 17th player in history to log 350 bombs and 2,000 hits by age 33. Lou Gehrig, Jimmy Fox, Mel Ott, Willie Mays, Mickey Mantle, Eddie Matthews, Hank Aaron, Frank Robinson, Orlando Cepeda, Jim Rice, Eddie Murray, Ken Griffey Jr., Vladimir Guerrero, A-Rod, Albert Pujols, and Miguel Cabrera. The company doesn't get much more elite than those guys. I mean, truly. Like, are they all Hall of Famers except for maybe A-Rod?
A-Rod is not in, and I don't think is Miggy's not in yet. He's going to be in though.
Pujols, yeah, Pujols is in. Yeah,
and he's going to get in. So, he's absolutely on a Hall of Fame trajectory.
Crazy, man.
It's a good company.
That's a really good company.
I think there's a debate over whether he'll get to 3,000. It takes so many hits. Good luck.
I mean, he's on pace for it. He's absolutely on pace.
Just turned 33, and he's got 999 to go.
He doesn't have to keep up the pace he's on now. He just has to have continued solid Manny seasons, and he should get there with a couple of years left in his contract with the Padres.
I don't know if this math is accurate, but Pedro did send this over to us. He said if Manny averages 138 hits and 23 home runs for the remainder of his contract the next 8 years, he'd end up being the all-time leader in both categories for third baseman. He has averaged 142 and 25. So he needs 134 and 23 a year.
Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely
doable.
That's
within reach for sure.
You know, he said last night, I see that he said, they talked about on the broadcast, one of these days, they all run together, how he's feeling better than when he was 21 years old. He takes phenomenal care of his body. He makes sure that he's... I do think at some point, you know, in the next couple of years, while we all appreciate the posting that he does, you know, probably see a few more nights of him, you know, DHing, getting off his feet. Speaking of his feet, what do his feet look like right now? He has been shooting balls off of his toes every game for the last week. They have to look like mangled car wrecks.
By the way, that's not a coincidence. Manny has done such a good job this year of laying off the outside sliders, which used to be
his
where pitchers would attack him. And he's laid off of so many of those that they're now trying to attack him with change-ups that dive in toward his feet, which means when he swings and hits them, he oftentimes hits himself in the foot or the ankle, which is very painful. And we saw it last night. And he still nearly drove one out of the ballpark on the next swing, when he made one of his two outs last night. But he's a marvel. He really is.
He is. He's absolutely a marvel. Kurt says, what year do you think he becomes the official DH? Honestly, Kurt, I think you see Manny at first base in a couple of years. I don't think he necessarily wants to. But I have no doubt that he'll be really, really good at it. If he decides, hey man, I can continue to be in the lineup every day more if I'm playing first base. I bet you when he's 35, they kind of look at that and say, hey, get across the diamond. Who's going to be better at picking balls over there, than him? It's going to be great.
I assume the Ken in our chat is also the one that tweeted me last night about Manny not diving for ground balls yesterday.
Mm.
He had a couple that I don't think were even within reach. Yeah. There was one maybe he could have gotten to. Manny is not... I mean, Manny dives for balls.
Sure.
He dives for balls all the time. He is always running a advanced calculus in his head.
Correct.
About what can I actually get to, what is worth in this situation in the game. If he dove for every single ball that you wanted him to dive for, he would play 120 games a year.
Right. It's just the way it is.
And his calculus is, I am more valuable playing in 160 games and occasionally sacrificing the opportunity to get one of those.
Yep.
You may not like it, but it's an absolutely valid strategy.
Yeah, there's trust.
That probably is more valuable to the Padres than having him go all out and dive for every single play and run out every single routine grounder to short the entire season and knowing he would never survive the wear and tear on his body throughout the year. That's the calculus. You can hate it.
Well, and that's
you
the trust.
Absolutely can hate it if you want.
That's the trust I think that he's earned. He certainly earned it for me. I just kind of defer to his expertise on matters of playing third base and really a lot on the baseball field. Does he deserve to be questioned sometimes? Sure. Sure. Absolutely. He's had terrible at-bats in big situations. They all do. Everybody does. Bryce Harper does. Shohei Ohtani does.
But his career clutch numbers are very, very good.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. So I love that moment for him last night. Super stoked to see it. Obviously wish we could have grabbed a win for him. But I think, Yu Darvish, some really encouraging signs out of Yu Darvish.
I want to talk more about him. I felt equally as bad for him because it could have been a really special night last night.
Yep.
He was everything and more that I could have hoped for.
He had Josh Naylor K'd up, pitch right there, boom, lit up, strike three, nope. Next pitch, walks, and Naylor comes around to score. And yeah, man, it just... it didn't even snowball. He threw up, gave up one run in each inning, walked more guys than he would like, certainly, but some of that wasn't on him. But it's nice to see him, and obviously this morning, we're all holding a good thought that he wakes up feeling great. But he was fired up to be out there again. He looked great. He was spinning it like he always does.
Well, I'll give you my hot take about Yu Darvish from last
good.
Night. He surprised me.
Yeah, good.
He surprised me last night. We'll get to that. Also have some breaking news that's going to impact the SDSU basketball team coming up next year on The Fan.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.